Afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, March the 13th, 2018, 13 minutes past the hour. We're almost to St. Patrick's Day, St. Patty's Day. Can you believe that? Right around the corner. We did the time change over the weekend. We're still all recovering. I'm better than I was yesterday. I'm adjusting to the time change. We have more daylight hours, which is nice during the day, but it takes about a week to get adjusted, but I'm getting there quick this time. And if you're looking for warm weather, it's not here today, but coming up this weekend, we're going to be up in the 50s, and then I think from then on, the temperature will be on the rise. Now, we do have to do some housekeeping because we've got some big events coming up later in this show and coming up in the week. And we've got a great guest this hour. You're not going to want to miss this for love nor money. Coming up on Thursday. Now, you got to listen Thursday at 1:15 in the afternoon. We are going to have David Newell on. You might not know the name David Newell, but David was Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He was the mailman. This year, Mr. Rogers is celebrating the 50th anniversary of going on the air back in 1968. And we have a big announcement that Mr. McFeely, David Newell, is going to make Thursday at 1:15. Don't miss it. Now, tomorrow on this program, as we head into spring training and baseball season, which is my favorite sport to watch and listen to and go to, we will have Ken Cervera on. Now, you might not know the name Ken Cervera, but Ken Cervera does one of the best Harry Carey impersonations I've ever heard. If you tune in tomorrow between 1:15 and 2 o'clock, you are going to think Harry Carey is on the air with me talking about the upcoming spring training. Of course, Harry died in 1998, but tomorrow, Harry Carey, 1:15. See the links people go to come on this show? They've passed away 20 years ago this year. I didn't even think about that. 20 years Harry's been gone, but a great impersonator, Ken Cervera, will portray Harry Carey tomorrow at 1:15. And at 12:15 tomorrow, we have best-selling author Dr. Smalley on, and he's written a new book on how to change your personality. Oh, goodness gracious. We all need a personality change. So that's going to be very interesting. Dr. Smalley tomorrow, 12:15, on how to change your personality. Coming up next hour on the program, 1:15 today. Boy, do you remember this name? Ed Ames. Ed Ames, best known for his work in the musical group with his brothers, the Ames Brothers. He was on Daniel Boone, where he portrayed Mingo. And we probably best remember Ed Ames if you're of the Johnny Carson era, the black and white days. Ed Ames threw the tomahawk on the Johnny Carson show, and, well, you'll have to watch the clip. I can't explain it on radio, but it went down as one of the greatest clips in the history of The Tonight Show, and Ed Ames himself will be on next hour. Now that we've said all of that, this hour is where you want to be, because this hour we are joined by one of the finest actors there has ever been in the United States. He is one of my favorite guests. His last visit with us was just last Thursday, but we had some phone trouble and we didn't get the time we wanted with him. So very graciously, he has agreed to come back today and spread joy through whatever radio or listening device you are using at this point. We are always glad to welcome him to these microphones, but before we do, we've got to play a little song that's very familiar with him, very familiar with you, the listening audience. The guest is Bill Macy. Here's the song.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really could. Isadora was the first bra burner, and you're glad she showed up. When the country was falling apart, Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
And then there's Maud.
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 And then
that uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
Right on, Maud.
And of course, on Maud, he starred as Walter Finley, Maud's husband. So glad to welcome to these microphones, Bill Macy. Bill, how are you?
Scott!
Yes!
Sit!
Oh, hearing that theme song has to make you happy.
Yeah, it was a line that I heard on a reproduction of the show once where Maud was complaining to me about she can't make a living and I'm the only one and therefore she feels left out of the cold, and I told her, I give you $5 to put on your dress. The audience must have laughed for an hour. And anyway, I appreciate you having me come on again, Scott, because I love you. And I hope I'm going to see you soon because, you know, I just want to know what you look like.
Well, I tell you what, I have in good faith that this is going to happen. Bill, last time you were on, I did a little bit of searching on the TV series Maud. Maud was on for 6 years. It was a top five television series for a lot of those years. This is back when we only had three channels. Over 26, 27 million people were watching every week, which if you look at television now, that's a gigantic audience. What was it like to be a part of that?
Well, to be very truthful with you, if you don't mind, rather than like Hollywoodish, I'm from Brooklyn, so I was taught to be honest and truthful. I never thought or got concerned about what you just suggested about the millions and millions of good, honest, hardworking people that watch the show. I very simply looked at the script that was given to me each week, and there was a couple of lines every so often for Walter, and I went home after rehearsal and learned those lines, and it was difficult because I hadn't been doing it for quite a while, and so little by little I learned my lines, and then each day when we went into rehearsal, we stayed on book, as it was called. And then eventually, when they were implanted in our brains, we were off book, and we could actually say the lines to each other as if we knew what we were saying. And that was sort of exciting because it was called acting by everybody else, but to us, it was just like real.
Now,
that's all I can say about that.
While the series is going on, you have Adrian Barbeau, Bea Arthur, Rue McClanahan, Conrad Bain, all great actors. Would you consider yourself friends? Did you hang out outside of the job?
Absolutely not. By the way, do you hear any laughter in the background when I just said that?
I heard it.
I'm sitting with a friend called Paul Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R, and both of us were in a Broadway show called Miss Reardon Drinks a Little. What year was that?
I think it was 1971.
And we're still friends, even though when I look at him, he scares the heck out of me because he's got white hair and... My gosh, Because I don't look at myself, you know. Anyway, what was your question, Scott?
Were you friends with anybody in the mod cast?
Oh, yeah, we were very friendly. But after the rehearsal period was over and after we did the show, we all went our separate ways. I was almost an alcoholic after each show on the day that we taped. We used to go to Joe Allen's and just drink and carouse because it was sort of like, what a relief that we had learned the lines all week long and performed before a live audience. But during the rest of each day and each week, you just was a hard-working person, and I never looked at it like a social thing or anything like that. I looked at it like going to work. Like when I drove a taxi in New York City, I did that for 12 years, started in 1950. I was graduated in 1954. I started driving a taxi, and wait a minute, Scott, this is a crazy answer to your question.
No, this is good.
So can I continue on?
The less I have to talk, the better.
So listen to this. I want your audience to be apprised that even though you're gracious enough to say what you've said about me as an actor, that I'm first and foremost a person, just like everybody else is a person. And I intend to come and visit you pretty soon if things go right. Look, I used to drive a taxi after I graduated from university in 1954, and I drove for 12 years till 1966. And if the people who are listening to your program would get a pencil and paper, I could tell them what to look up so they could really hear the full story, because I don't want to have the story on your show and then have the story on Gilbert Gottfried's show. I wanted everybody to understand that I'm going to be coming to Ohio pretty soon. And so let's assume that right now, even though I forgot your question, I'm going to assume that everybody got a piece of pencil and paper right now, and I want them to write this down because it's about a podcast. Scott, is that okay?
Go right ahead.
It's called Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast with Bill Macy, program 172. Now, he's actually having his 200th podcast this the end of this month. And in that podcast, they would understand about my driving a taxi. Boy, I'm talking about driving a taxi. I would love to drive a taxi again. I'm only 95. I can still drive.
Certainly.
Go ahead, Scott.
You've got time left. You know, I was wondering, this Gilbert Gottfried podcast. Now, were you able to go to... Where was this done? Was this on the phone? Did you go to Gilbert's house? Did he come to you? What happened?
Well, you know, I love you because you asked me such great questions. I think it was his wife that called me. His name is Dara, D-A-R-A. And she said they would like to do it on Skype. And I didn't know what that was. So anyway, she explained it to me. He was in New York in a studio. I was here in Los Angeles. And they would have me go to a studio here, and on television, I could see him in his studio, and he could see me, and we did it in that manner. That was known as Skype, and on that, in fact, I talk about that on the Gilbert Gottfried podcast.
It's tremendous. It's the things we can do with the computers and internet world today. Now, Bill, you would love to drive a cab again. Now, that's interesting. Was it a fun part of your life when you were driving a cab the first time?
Not necessarily fun. I had to make a living. I was poor. I mean, I was poor all my life until somebody left the script in the back seat of the taxi, and I became an actor. You know, my life is so bizarre. When I say bizarre, I don't mean vulgar or anything like that. It's just like everything that has happened to me. And look at what you and me talking. We never met in person, and I don't know how the hell you found me.
You know, I don't remember. I remember. Here's what I remember. Years ago, when B. Arthur passed away, because B. used to come on this show a lot.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll fill you. Yeah, well, B. was actually the first guest I ever had.
Wow, what year was that?
2002. So, how many years ago is that now? 16 years ago?
Uh-huh.
So, B. was the first guest we ever had. It was December 26th. 2002, B. Arthur was the first guest, and she came back a few times, and we even did a television interview once in Michigan. And you know what always shocked me about B. Arthur was she was a, when I met her in Michigan on the stage, she was a much shorter woman than you think she would be. She was not...
I disagree.
What was she, 5'9", I think she said.
Well, is that short?
Well, I don't know if it's on television. You always thought, my goodness, she's 6'10".
Yeah, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
Get out!
I am.
Oh my God, I'm going to be a shrimp.
I know. I was.
So if you see me, because I used to be 5'9½", and the doctor recently put me on the scale and he measured me. He said, "You're now 5'7½". I said, "Where'd the other 2 inches go?" My God.
So you
I've
look,
not only lost it in height, I lost it every place else.
So B. Arthur was the same height as you.
Yeah.
You were right. Okay. Well, but I was surprised because I thought, not 6'10", but I thought, well, she's probably 6 foot something, but she wasn't. And she was a very, when I met her, she was kind of a petite woman, not a very heavy lady. But I think she'd lost some weight.
Well, when I knew her, she was not petite, but it was a pleasure to work with her because she was so professional, and I was just very fortunate. In fact, talking to you right now, did I ever mention how I got the job?
I don't think
her husband?
No, I don't think we ever talked about that.
Would your listeners like to hear how I got that job?
Oh, I'm certain they would.
Because I think it's on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast also, but let me tell you what I can remember. I hope I'm fairly accurate because, you know, I'll be 96 in May 18th, so I'm going to try to recall exactly what happened. Every night about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, we would turn in our money to the cab company people, and this black musician, who was also a driver because he couldn't get work as a musician, he said, "Bill, somebody left a script in the taxi. Maybe you can use it." So I took it home and I read it. What was your question there, Scott?
How'd you get the job on Maude?
Oh, yeah, I got the job on Maude. So I took it to the producer, Martin Gable. And I said, "I'd like to play this very small part." I think Leon Belasco eventually played it. And he wanted to throw me out of the office, and I wouldn't leave. And he said, "Okay, be at the National Theater tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I was there. I didn't get the part, but he said, "I'll let you be the understudy to Walter Matthau." I did that for a year, and before you know it, I was not driving for a while. The show was over. I went back to driving. And I read in a paper, maybe 1960-something, that Walter Matthau was going to do a play called Awake and Sing, written by Clifford Odets. And I went to my agent. I said, "Get me back with Walter Matthau." So he picks up the phone, and coincidentally, you have to be lucky in this world, the person on the other end of the phone, a woman, was the casting person for the film and also the casting person for Norman Lear. And when the agent said Bill wants to be with Walter Matthau, she said, what are you talking about? We were looking for him to play opposite B. Arthur, but the Hollywood agent says that he's busy in St. Louis, Missouri with a show on the road. And the guy said, well, he's sitting right here in my office. And that's how I got the job as Walter.
You know, it occurs to me, this is where we started, because how did we meet up, you and I? And it deals with B. Arthur, because, as I said, B was the first guest on this show. And B, I believe she passed away in 2009. And when she died, we did several tribute shows to her because she was the first guest. And I'll tell you a funny story that it deals with another Modcast member before we get to you, Bill, how I met you. But we got in touch with Adrian Barbeau and Rue McClanahan, who was still living at the time, to do tributes to B. Now, Adrian was really upset by this, or at least so I was told. And I'll take her at her word that she didn't want to talk about it. She was broke up that B had passed away, and she did not want to come on and do any radio interviews, and I think she did very few, if any, on B's passing. But Rue McClanahan came on, because she'd worked with her in both series, Golden Girls and Maude. And Rue came on. Now, this is the funny story. Rue said, because I think B died on a Saturday, and we're a weekday show, and Rue said, well, I can do it with you, but I have to do it this afternoon because I'm busy the upcoming week. And I said, okay, I'll go into the station on Saturday and we'll tape it. So I go into the station, and because we're in Ohio, on the weekends, we're playing a Cleveland Indians baseball game. And I go in, and I tape the interview with Rue McClanahan, remembering B. Arthur. And when I go out in the lobby, when it's over, the phones are ringing. And when I put the machine together to tape Rue McClanahan, I knocked the Indians game off the air for 13 minutes. So they weren't happy with me.
Oh.
But I did get Rue, who was a very nice... She was good. She was on the show a lot. She was a very nice woman.
Yes.
Conrad Bain, though, I think is the only one we never had on. I could never find Conrad Bain. But I wanted to have you on because nobody had spoken to you. All these tribute shows to B. Arthur, I saw Betty White, I saw Rue McClanahan, I saw Adrian Barbeau, and I saw Norman Lear. I thought, why aren't they interviewing Bill Macy? Bill Macy's still living. He was her husband on Maude for 6 years. And I think I got your number from Rue McClanahan.
Did anybody give you an answer why I was never included?
You know, nobody really ever did. And I
was shocked myself because I wasn't invited to her funeral.
I don't think she had a funeral, did she?
Well, she must have had something. She's buried.
I think she did have there was a tribute in New York, I think. But I do remember maybe it was Adrian Barbeau who gave me your number, not Rue McClanahan. But in any event, I remember I called you up, and you said, nobody's called me. And I said, well, this doesn't make any sense. And I said, and we did the interview. We did the exclusive Bill Macy remembrance of B. Arthur, and that's how it started.
That was a fantastic experience to work with her. She was formerly an actress on the Broadway stage in New York City. And she was a personal friend to Norman Lear. And Norman Lear gave her a part one day, one week, where she was a guest on the All in the Family show with Archie Bunker, Carol O'Connor. In that show, Carol or Archie was sick, and Cousin B came on, with Edith, and in the motion between the two of them, she got all the laughs and I'm looking for the right terminology because I don't want to use vulgarity, especially in Ohio, because they would never forget that.
That's right.
And so the president of CBS had been watching the show and said, you have to write a series for that lady. And that's how she got the part called Maud. I once, this is changing the subject with your permission, married Sandy Sprinkling, that was her name, in Cleveland, Ohio, in Shaker Heights. And she left me after a year when she was 19 and I was 29. And she told me one morning, she said, I had a dream last night that this black bird was in this cage and the door opened and the bird flew. And she said, goodbye.
Well, that does kind of slam the door on it, doesn't it?
By the way, the laughter that you hear is known all over the world. That's Paul Lieber's laugh. And eventually, before we both die, I hope we can work together. I don't know. Would you like to work with me sometime in the future, Paul?
Bill, it would be a privilege.
There you go. See
now,
that?
Now, was Paul Lieber not on Barney Miller at some point?
Yes, I was not on Barney Miller.
You were not on Barney Miller.
But I was on Barney Miller.
But you were on Barney. I see. I can't.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I did a guest shot, and then I played Darcy for a few episodes.
Well, it's interesting because another one of our frequent guests was Abe Vigoda.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
he was the most entertaining human being you would ever want to talk to, but he did not think he was entertaining, but he was. You know,
we see reruns of Barney Miller here. They show in Los Angeles. They show reruns of the shows that used to be on, and we see Abe Vigoda every week.
Well, you know, Abe, God bless him, he lived in New York all his life. I think he lived to be 94 or 95. And
right.
One time we were talking, he was one of our frequent guests, like Bill is now. And
did he talk about The Godfather?
Oh, yeah, Tessio. He loved to talk about Tessio in The Godfather, which is the character he played. But one day he was eating soup, tomato soup and crackers, while we were doing the interview. And he said, Scott, he said, why don't you come to New York? I know you do the show here from New York every so often. You come to my apartment and we'll have tomato soup and crackers.
Wow.
Now, as much as I would have loved to have met Abe Vigoda face to face, which, God forbid, unfortunately didn't happen. I don't know about eating tomato soup and crackers. I just don't know how that would have went. You know?
Would have been the same height, though, right?
Yes. We would have been face to face. He told me and again, Abe is not a comedian. He said, you know, they write me funny lines, but I'm not funny in general. But I said, there's this thing going around that everybody thinks you're dead. And he says, well, yeah. And he said it all, you know, he gave the backstory on it, which was he had left Barney Miller and People Magazine came to do a layout on Barney Miller. And somebody referred to him as being not there. And the reporter took that as him being dead.
Oh, I see.
So in the article, they wrote the late Abe Vigoda. And he was not late. So he said this caught on and everybody thought he was dead. Matter of fact, to the day he died, there was a website that had it said Abe Vigoda still alive and it had a clock, a timer. But so he's telling me this story about everybody thinks he's dead. So he said he went into Bloomingdale's one day and he walked up to the clerk. And he said, could you help me find some ties? He was just there to buy a tie. And the guy said, you look like the late Abe Vigoda. And the guy said, and Abe said, well, he said, I turned to him and I said, well, you know what, sir? I came in here to buy a tie and I'm going to buy the tie, but I'm going to buy a whole suit now because I'm alive. And he said, the guy just freaked out. Now, can you imagine Abe Vigoda freaking somebody out in the middle of Bloomingdale's like that?
I would have loved to have seen that. See? Oh, boy, that would have been fantastic.
So he was...
Bob, can I say something?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that I am thrilled that you share your feelings about Bill Macy that I do. That he's the funniest, most generous, smart, and he's totally, and to use an overused word, unique person that I'm just so privileged to know. So I'm both privileged to be here with Bill and to be here on your show.
Well, Bill...
I don't want your audience to think that he's gay. Because, like, what is this homosexual guy doing in my house? No, I invited... I invited him to come here today because after you do your program, you and I and Paul and Samantha, my wife, we're going to have a private discussion off the air about some ideas that we've been... bandying around with. So that's the reason that Paul's here. And everything he says is overblown because he's got the best laugh in the world. Anyway, Scott, you know, you're fantastic that you permit what you've just witnessed.
Oh, the freewheeling conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, you it took me a long time to get that permit to do that, but we have clearance now to do it.
Wow.
I know. But that's how
your own personality that you just permit, you know, like you said to me, I'm Bill, I'm going to call you at 9:15 and we'll talk. And then I said to Paul, and suddenly Paul's on with Bill, and you never, but you're so generous. I love that about you.
Well, we have to have a spontaneity. To me, that's what radio has over any other medium. We can be, we're live. There are no producers now. You know, they can complain later on, which they don't. But this is our medium. This is happening right now.
And you've been doing it for 30, 40 years, I'll bet.
Oh, a long time. This particular show, what is it now? If B. Arthur was the first guest. See, it doesn't seem like 16 years on this particular show. I can't believe it. Maybe I should retire from this show. 16 years. I may have
hit one. If you do retire, why don't you and I do a show?
Well, I think we should, because I can't just sit at home and watch television.
Do you want to talk about the show that you and I perhaps may do?
Yes, because this is reality, and let's just let the people in. They're wondering what we're talking about, so we'll let them know.
All right, so you start.
I'll start. Because Bill, here's one thing I love about Bill, and this is the absolute truth, is he's honest as could be. Honest as the day is long. And last week, we just stumbled into a conversation that Bill, who is out in California, wants to work. And because he is 95, 96 in 2 months, the calls are not coming. And even to the point where the internet says that you retired in 2010, which is not true, you just haven't worked since then in the acting profession, which is insanity because you still have your wits about you. I don't know why they wouldn't use you. It just seems absurd. But that's where the conversation went, that you were not working very much, but
and you came up with the idea of
you driving a taxi because that was your career before acting.
So, listen, you're in, how do you spell the name of the town that you're doing your show from?
Marion.
Like the woman's name, Marion, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I don't mind you telling your audience as a preamble to what we were trying to do, that with the permission of the Motor Vehicle Bureau in Marion, I'd like to come out there and at least drive a taxi, which I know how to do because I did that for 12 years in New York, and pick up passengers. And I need my buddy Paul here to help me, just emotional and physical support. And I would like also to bring my wife along. And so even though we would pick up passengers that would want to go from their point to the next point, I would want the three of us to be in the cab. You and I have to have the discussion about that, but I'm not embarrassed about having this discussion with your audience listening, because maybe some of the audience will call in and offer some other kinds of suggestions. Like somebody could say, Bill, stay home. or Bill, what is your wife going to be doing? Well, I'm going to have her sit in the back seat, and she will have maybe a soup for me or a tomato sandwich or something like that. And Paul is going to tell me to make the turn right and left and so on. I'm a little crazy, but with your permission, let's do it. Just go for it.
Because here's the point, and this is just so the audience knows, because we have no secrets. The idea is, now there will be a cameraman in this taxi cab.
Well, so, where's the passenger going to sit? Because we already have me driving.
Well, you need a checker. You need a checker cab.
Said we need a checker cab because there are jump seats in a checker.
I agree with that. We do need a checker cab, but here's the idea that Paul will be with you. Your very accommodating and gracious wife Samantha will be with you, but we don't want celebrities. We're picking up regular people here. So once they decide that they don't mind being on camera, this is going to be a legitimate taxi ride where you're going to have a man driving the cab who's not only worked in this field of cab driving, but he's been on Broadway, Old Calcutta, television, Maud, movies, The Jerk, among many others.
Listen to this. You mentioned The Jerk. And I was playing cards yesterday at one of the casinos here in L.A., and I just casually said I may go to Ohio and drive a taxi. And the fellow next to me, he said he's from Norway. His name is, forget his name offhand. And he said, well, why don't you tell your passengers, damn these glasses, and they'll immediately know who you are.
Oh, everybody's seen The Jerk. I believe that's transversal. I don't believe that there's any way that once you do that and tell them that they could not know. And Maud is still popular, too. Maud plays a lot.
You know, you got to be lucky in this world, Scott. Right?
I agree.
And I think that you're lucky, I'm lucky, Paul's lucky, Samantha's lucky. And the people in Ohio, who I intend to meet pretty soon, are lucky also, because I'm very, very fortunate to still be living, and I want to give everybody a hug. In fact, let's make a lineup where I get a hug from Bill Macy. $2, please.
Well, and here's the thing, and people of Marion, Ohio, who are listening right now, now, of course, Bill will be driving this cab. This is absolutely legitimate. There's no joke here. But while Bill and Samantha and Paul are here, you could see Bill Macy at a restaurant. You could see Bill at the grocery store.
No tomato soup.
No, we don't. Boy, you know, I don't like tomato soup. We're going to have but a good sausage and pepper sandwich.
Yeah, we're not going to dig up Abe Vigoda for that.
No, he wouldn't like that. So we'll have all these things in place that will also be happenstance, but basically it's the ride, because you're not going to be, I don't imagine you were in those days, a quiet cab driver. You know, some of these cab drivers you get in now, and they don't talk to you. You're a talker.
Right.
You're a talker.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who got...
I can't help myself, you know.
No, that's good. Everything...
You know, after I did a few Broadway shows, Bill, I drove a cab, and Bill gave me a tip.
What was the tip?
The tip was, when a passenger gets in the car, You have a package of chiclets. Do they still have chiclets? You have a package of chiclets, and you offer them one. And if you offer them one, your tip will be commensurate with that offering. It will get higher. So I use that strategy, and I'm still grateful to Bill after all these years for telling me about it.
Ah, very nice. Now, Bill, I do have a question that I've never asked you. Are you a freeway driver?
Am I a freeway driver?
Yeah, do you get on the freeway?
Why do you... you want to know, did I do that in the past or did I do it now?
Do you do it now?
I do freeway plus surface streets because I live in a neighborhood that the freeway is at least 13 miles from where I live. And if I go to the casino, I first take Sunset Boulevard, which is a normal street, and then I get on the 405, which is a freeway, and then I take that to the city of Gardena. That's about 22 miles.
Well,
I do ride the freeway, yes. Why'd you ask that question?
Because here's the thing. One of the popular things here in Marion, Ohio, now we do not have a casino here, but we have one about 40 minutes away, just a shot down the freeway. But one of the popular things is that people get on, sometimes it's a bus, sometimes it's a car, sometimes it's a taxi, and they take that down to the casino. Now, see, there's an interesting episode.
Yeah, and we could stop with the passenger and go into the casino and play for a half hour, and then get back into the taxi and take him home.
Take him home, because that's perfect. We say, we're done. Your time's up. Even if they're jackpotting it all over, you say, listen, I'm Bill Macy. Your 30 minutes are up. Let's go.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a winner because you'll probably have to stop at some point to have a cup of coffee or something.
Or to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, see, I think that's... do you ever notice how nobody goes to the restroom on television anymore?
Well, we're on radio now, so we can do it all over.
Yeah, we can go to the
radio. Listen, Scott.
Yes.
Do you realize that what we're discussing... And you have a radio program, and your audience has been listening to this program. And the audience, men, women, children, if they're really alert, they may be saying to themselves, what kind of a group of people are we listening to? Because in retrospect, if I try to recall exactly what has happened in the last hour or so, it sounds bizarre to me, and yet, that's who we are.
Oh, yeah. I agree. But it's
my gosh.
But it's good, because it's the creative process, which I think is sometimes bizarre.
You want to hear something about a creative process that you and the audience may reject? It happened this morning while I was waiting for your call. Is it okay to tell you about it?
Go ahead.
I got up earlier because I know you said you were going to call at 9 a.m. L.A. time. And I got dressed and showered very quickly. It was maybe 8:30. And I ran into the kitchen, and I scrambled some eggs with some cut-up onions that I did and made a mess in the kitchen and sat down to eat it at the dining room table. No sound in the house. Just me eating. And I said to myself, this could be an opening of the program in a sense that I'm a cab driver now. I have to have my breakfast. And I finish it, I put my cab driving hat on, and then go out and get into my taxi.
I
was crazy, wasn't it?
Well, no, I like that, because you've got to set the scene.
And it was quiet. There was no sound. And so I think that's refreshing for this reason. When I come home at night after I play cards at the casino, and I put on television. I usually put on a golf channel and turn the sound off. And I can sit and watch the golf channel with no sound. Because if I turn on any other station, the sound drives me up the wall because there are commercials, the people are talking innocuously, and those people can say that I'm innocuous also, but I cannot handle so much noise. And so I watch the golf channel. I like the greenery and the people taking a swing and hitting a white ball. No sound. Well, that most likely part of my brain since I started doing that recently. And so when I was eating my scrambled eggs and onions this morning, there was no sound. And I thought maybe the public would enjoy watching something with no sound.
Well, I think you're right, because I think it's different. And I think just the pure essence of the cab drive itself will be raucous. So to start in a very serene environment would be good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Paul, what's your vote?
My what?
Paul? Is Paul still there?
No, he went to pee.
Oh, no. See, we wanted to get his vote on this whole thing.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
He wanted to know where you went. I said you went to pee, and he wanted to get your vote on this.
What? The vote on what?
The vote on starting the program, as Bill just suggested, with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, you didn't even need to know what it was.
No, I love it, because I heard it before.
Oh, and, you heard
and,
it before.
And, I agree with you. It would be a wonderful start.
All right. Well, I love it. Now, see, this is where we are. Now, we got about a minute left here, and then we're going to have a little conversation in between shows here. But, Bill, with a minute left, what do you want the audience to know today?
What do I want the audience to know today? Boy, you put me right on the spot. But I'm going to come up with something, and it's like rising right now. And wait a minute, I'll tell you what I want the audience to know. Anybody who's within earshot of my voice, don't look at the real mirror, but look at the mirror of yourself and say, thank you, God. I'm so happy to be who I am. I'm looking forward to living out the day. I'm going to be loving to my friends. And if I meet somebody who is not necessarily friendly, I'm going to be especially loving towards him.
Perfect. Bill Macy has been the guest. Coming up in a few minutes, Ed Ames. Bill, hold the line, and I'll be with you momentarily.
Okay.
The height of one time, well, two times is a big story. This, we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody stealing. So this woman came up, and she was walking funny like this. And so I thought, well, something's wrong here. I think she's got something between her legs, because we had seen that before, you know, in teaching. And so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.
Is there any particular reason, I'm glad it does, but that the sign still stands over there?
Oh, yeah, well, some truck hit it the other day, and
oh gosh,
and it shook it up. It didn't come down, but I thought about taking a shotgun in there and blow it up.
WWDH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Like us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking like for exclusive content.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495.
webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Does it seem everyone is mumbling? Are you constantly asking people to repeat themselves? Is it a struggle to hear on the phone? Do you experience ringing in your ears? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may have hearing loss. Hearing loss develops gradually, and treating it as soon as you recognize the warning signs can prevent it from getting worse. A free in-office hearing screening from Beltone can help determine your hearing loss and how best to treat it. 740-389-5566 to schedule your free hearing evaluation.
The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Adam Lepp from WWGH on the line with Zach Fuller, founder and general manager of Marion, Ohio Weather. Zach, you have a special seminar occurring at the library on Tuesday, the 13th at 7 p.m. for Tornado Safety Week. Why don't you tell our listeners more about that?
That is correct, Adam. And what we're doing is we've teamed up with the Marion Public Library and several other organizations throughout Marion County. And what we've done is we've created a one-hour seminar discussing weather situations from past and from present. What we're doing is we are also going to be demonstrating safety techniques on how to protect yourself and your business when it comes to weather safety. Whether we have a tornado or we have hurricane force winds that come through Marion County, we want to make sure that our followers and our listeners and everybody in our community is fully prepared when it comes to safety.
And thank you, Zach. We hope to see you at the Marion Library on Tuesday, the 13th.
This is Patty Worcester with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. Are you looking for a church that still teaches that the Bible is the Word of God? A church with a passion for outreach? A church that still holds Sunday morning and Sunday evening services, along with youth group and midweek Bible study. Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street, Prospect, Ohio. ProspectCCF.com, 740-494-2222.
Vanover Square Apartments, address 465 Merchant Avenue, offer 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Phone number 740-389-3462.
This is Phil Reed, and you are listening to WWGH Radio at 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling 740-383-9944.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
I'm an IT guy, and I have an office, and I've got some computers in there, and occasionally they break down. Who do I turn to? What do I do? Well, I can always listen to Adam the Computer Guy. He's on every Tuesday and Thursday at 9:13 at WWGH. He's got all the information that I need to help me keep my computers running just beautifully. So if you have any computer information you need, you want to keep your computers running right, and you want to get the latest news and information, listen to Adam the Computer Guy every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 9:13 right here on 107.1 FM WWGH.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue, phone number 740-387-9050. News and weather every hour on WWGH Radio are supported by One Piece or a Truckload Hauling. Scrap hauling, cleanouts, trash removal, telephone number 740-244-9409.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom. I'm Robin Leach.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. The Marion Post of the Ohio State Highway Patrol was dispatched at 10:05 p.m. on March the 11th to a serious injury crash that occurred on U.S. 23 near Milepost 7 in Marion Township, which is north of the rest area. A 2005 Chevrolet Express passenger van driven by Becky L. Porter, age 54, of Shelby, Ohio, was traveling southbound on U.S. 23 in the left lane. A 2017 Dodge Caravan driven by Dan J. Leidick, Jr., age 27, of Sterling Heights, Michigan, was southbound on U.S. 23 in the left lane. A preliminary investigation indicates that the Chevrolet was attempting to utilize a median crossover after missing their exit when the Dodge struck the Chevrolet in the rear. Mr. Leidick Jr. suffered life-threatening injuries and was transported to OSU Medical Center by MedFlight helicopter. There were a total of 14 occupants that had no life-threatening injuries in the Chevrolet. Their ages ranged from 3 years old to 54 years old. They were all transported by EMS to Marion General Hospital.